Blog Talk Radio.
Well, we are back. Thank you, my brothers and sisters, mighty companions, all for joining back in today. Today is day 9 of January, and it is also the 9th day of the new decade and the new year, and we are venturing forth through lesson number 9 in A Course in Miracles. This is your host, Brother T. Glad to have you with us. Our dial-in number is 563-999-3547. If you are ever interested in being a part of the conversation here on our podcast. And we're just kind of getting things started, but these first few lessons really kind of turn us on our head, you know, because they fly in the face of our conventional thinking, the thinking of the world. Really an amazing journey just through these first 8 lessons that we've covered so far. And in the second paragraph of today's lesson, he simply says, it is difficult for the untrained mind to believe that what seems to be pictured before it is not there. And part of our conversation up to this point is beginning to be willing to accept the idea that the world as we see it, as we know it, as it presents itself, is really kind of like a dream. And dreams have no effect, right? No matter what happens in the dream at night, when you wake up the next morning, you're just looking at that situation, looking at that dream, looking at the drama, the dreamscape, the experience, the people that appeared to show up, the fact that you were there, even though you were safe at home in bed and unaware of exactly where you were, the you that you believe yourself to be. And the dream itself had no effect. When you wake up, it's over. It's a new state of consciousness, a new state of mind. It's a new experience in the world of awakened world of being human, in the world of the third dimensional world of form. And these first 8 lessons have really pushed against the commitments that we've made, even that our religious upbringing, typically, at least I'll speak for myself, was that God created the world and basically put us in it. And gave us free will so that we could be judged for that free will at the end of our life, and maybe even find out why we were placed in it. Doesn't sound very reasonable. Doesn't sound like a loving God, actually. No, that's really not what A Course in Miracles is saying to us. It's not accepting that as truth. And literally beginning to ask us to let go of a commitment to false concepts and false ideas. So lesson 9 today says, I see nothing as it is now. And I was talking to a dear one this morning who shared with me that they were going through all of the lessons today, earlier, and contemplating the meaning or what the teaching is. And no matter what we're facing out in the world, no matter really what we're facing out in the world, what we believe to be important, what we believe to be true, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, as far as what the world is presenting, if we could look at these first 9 or 10 lessons, it shakes the very foundation of that presentation and the commitments that we've made to it. Lesson number 1, nothing I see in this room, in the world of form, really means anything. I've given everything I see in the world of form all the meaning that it has for me. And I don't understand anything I see outside of me in the world of forms. And the thoughts that I'm having about this world of form, they don't mean anything. They're like the things that I see in the world of form. They don't mean anything. They don't mean anything. And that's just the first 4 lessons. And I'm never upset for the reason that I think I am. I'm upset because I see something that's not there. Have you ever been upset in the middle of a dream at night? Well, of course you have. We've all had dreams of joy and dreams that were very pleasing, but we've also had dreams of terror that were very frightening, and maybe even experienced the threat of death in our dreams. And we can wake up and we can simply say, well, I was upset because I was seeing something that wasn't there, because it was just a dream. It wasn't really there. And then when we begin to look at how the ego mind, the small self mind, the thinking mind works, the separated thinking self works out its game of separation, its illusory construct of reality, we begin to see that we're looking at everything from the past. I see only the past. And my mind is preoccupied with thoughts of the past. Which brings us to today's lesson, which is, I see nothing as it is now. Because what I'm doing, if I'm thinking of the past, I'm not being present, right? I'm not being present. So this is really important that we spend some time with these ideas, not to make ourselves uncomfortable, but certainly to allow ourselves to consider the possibility that maybe, you've heard this before probably, right, that there is another way of seeing things. There's another way of seeing things. What if I could be willing and allow myself, even for the briefest of periods of time in my day today, to see the world of form through that construct of who and what I am? I am the witness of the world of form. But everything that I'm seeing, if I'm laying judgment on it, if I'm giving it a label, the glass, the picture, the thing out the window, the door, the body, the hand, the person, the desk, the chair, whatever it may be, I'm labeling it from the past. What if I were to consider just these first few lessons? To travel through my day today and do something absolutely remarkable, withhold judgment and watch the mind play out its game of judgment, of defining everything and placing tremendous value on what it has believed itself to learn, have learned. I've learned the world. If I see nothing as it is now, what's truly there? So let's jump in and let's read our lesson for today and see what our brother Jesus will share with us. This idea obviously follows from the two preceding ones, right? Let's go back to the two preceding ones. 7 and 8 said, I see only the past. My mind is preoccupied with past thoughts. But while you might be able to accept all of these principles intellectually, it's unlikely that it will mean anything to you, at least as yet. However, understanding is not necessary at this point. Understanding is not necessary at this point. In fact, the recognition that you do not understand is a prerequisite for undoing our false ideas. So these exercises are concerned with practice, not with understanding. You do not need to practice what you really understand. It would indeed be circular to aim at understanding and assume that you have it already. It is difficult, as I read before, it's difficult for the untrained mind to believe that what seems to be pictured before it, what I see before me, is not there. This idea can be quite disturbing and may meet with active resistance in any number of forms. Yet that doesn't preclude applying it, no more than it's required for these or any of the other exercises. Each little step will clear just a little of the darkness away, and understanding will finally come to enlighten every corner of the mind which has been cleared of the debris that darkens it. Wow. Huge statement, right? A huge teaching. I am never upset for the reason that I think I am. I'm giving everything all the meaning that it has. I see nothing as it really is now. I can watch my mind, and I can take each one of these lessons, just these first 9 lessons, and practice them every day, just a little bit, and begin to deconstruct the commitments that I've made to a world of illusion. All power under heaven and earth is mine. And if all power under heaven and earth is mine, it also is true about you. And that was the teaching of Jesus. Even the least among you will do more than I, he once said. It was quoted as saying. If Jesus and what he's teaching us in this teaching is identical, literally, in the mind of God to you, that means he's not special. So if you can imagine any construct of who and what you think he is, and you make that something that's special or unique or different than you, then that's how the ego makes itself small. It keeps us imprisoned in ideas of smallness. It keeps us deluded at once by ideas of unworthiness, and at the same time, in a blink of an eye, it can go into grandiosity and making up ideas about how important it is. People literally vacillate back and forth between being unworthy and being full of ourselves, as was once said, bloating nothingness. When we can let go of our bloated nothingness, the ego, we can possibly begin to recognize who and what we are. We don't know what anything means. How humiliating. And we talked about it a couple times in these last 9 days. We don't know what anything is for. We don't know what anything is. So we are attempting to fill that gap, to fill that void, to lay over that truth with a small-minded idea of knowing, pretending to know that we know what things are and what things are for. When we really don't, it's way beyond our capacity to know. All of the things that have happened in what we would call the construct of time, the millions and millions of years that bring us to this place of where we are now in the third dimensional world as beings in human form on a planet in the middle of a solar system, in the middle of a galaxy, in the middle of a galaxy of galaxies and universe of universes. It's mind-boggling to just look at the sky at night on a clear night, or even the moon, and recognize the awesomeness of creation that has unfolded as our third dimensional experience. Comprehensible? Hardly. At least by the average person. Yes, I know we have scientists and educators and investigators who continue to drill down deeper and deeper and deeper into an understanding of the universe. But while we're looking further and further out from where we are on this little planet circling around our sun, we know almost nothing about the very planet that we're on. Almost nothing about what goes on in the depths of our seas. We just don't know. And as difficult and as humiliating that is a blessing. And another way of saying it is, that's a miracle. Because a miracle is a shift of perception, a sudden shift of perception out of the mind of misperception into the mind of clarity. And the mind of clarity is not the mind that's confused and knows nothing about the world. Just like the sleeping self at night is confused and knows nothing about the world that you're living in today. It had even no construct, no idea that not only were you there participating in the experience and riding along for the ride, so to speak, but it had no idea that you were safe and home in bed all night long. Its limitations of consciousness become immediately known to you as you wake up. And that is also what happens when we become self-realized, as we begin to experience enlightenment. And the Course in Miracles is the stepway, the ladder, if you will, the stairway, step by step. We move towards the light because we let go of the darkness, and the darkness is nothing more than a misperception of reality. And what's required is nothing more than the willingness to allow ourselves to discover who and what we are. And to deny the world's temptations to distract us and keep us busy and invested in illusion. It's a high call indeed, my friends. It's a high call indeed. These exercises, paragraph three, these exercises, for which 3 or 4 practice periods are sufficient today, involve looking about you and applying the idea for the day to whatever you see, remembering the need for its indiscriminate application, and the essential rule of excluding nothing. For example, it gives us some really cool examples here, but this was 1965. I do not see this typewriter as it is now. You know, in the 60s and 70s, we didn't have computers. I would be surprised if you have a typewriter in your home now, right? Look how much the experience of three-dimensional form has changed as our consciousness has changed. And our experience has changed because the typewriters are no longer part of my daily experience, right? Computers are. I do not see this computer as it is now. I do not see this key as it is now. I do not see this telephone as it is now. We don't even have telephones anymore. So two things on that list that he was sharing with us 50 years ago, right? They're not even part of our experience now. We have cell phones, not telephones. And we have computers and not typewriters. The world of form is here today and gone tomorrow. That's the point. Here today and gone tomorrow. What begins in time ends in time. So begin with things that are nearest you, wherever you might be, as you travel through your day. And remember, we're only going to do this 3 or 4 times of practice today, which is sufficient. I do not see that old coat rack as it is now. I do not see that face as it is now. I do not see that door as it is now. It's emphasized again that while complete inclusion should not be attempted, specific exclusion must be avoided from our practice. So be sure that you're honest in making this distinction. You might be tempted to obscure it. I see nothing as it is now. So it's almost like a mantra, right? We look around the room. We just spend a four or five practice periods today with, you know, 1 or 2 minutes. You don't have to get too serious. Seriousness is of the ego, by the way. Spirit is joyful and knows that all is perfect, right? Just like us, we're perfect. I know that's a stretch, right, from the perception of the ego, but that is the truth. Again, the truth flies in the face of the experience of the third dimensional world and being human. So seriousness is not of spirit. Seriousness is of the ego construct, the ego mind, small, separated self. So if we're beginning to get too, you know, hung up on it, or we're feeling too serious about it, you know, we can let that go too. You know, we can say, silly human. We can let that go too. So we don't have to include everything. We don't have to be We don't have to be too serious. That's the word that keeps coming, right, about this. This can be done in playfulness. I don't know what this thing over here is now. I don't see that for what it really is now. I see nothing as it is now. One of the things that I've experienced when I was starting these lessons and going through this process was, if I don't see it now, right, a couple of questions come up. When will I see it? When will it reveal it? Is it going to reveal itself to me, or am I supposed to just to learn what it is? Is it important? You know, we talked these last few days about dreams. And again today, that dreams have no effect. We also talked about that events, all that we're experiencing, all these things are really just events. And that events, as we've learned from our textbook studies, that all events are neutral, which of course is the underpinning for thoughts or things. We're giving everything all the meaning that it has. So there's a void there. If I say to myself, I do not see anything, I see nothing as it is now, then the ego mind wants to pose a question. Well, what, you know, the what comes right up, right? The question, the big question mark comes right. Well, if I don't see what it is now, if I don't see anything as it is now, then it, you know, that begs the question. Well, okay, then what is it? So don't get too hung up on that. Be with it and notice what the mind does, that the mind goes through these hanging implications that there's more to come. Because I promise you, my friend, there is more to come. But our job now, in these early days of the workbook lessons, and most people that are going through the workbook lessons, while you can go through them again and again and again and again, and I love going through them every year, they're invaluable to keep me grounded in my personal journey. And as we come back to them again and again, we realize, we see more and more the truth that is held within these lessons. It's profound. Unsettling, yes, especially early on. Profound indeed. Because what we begin to feel as we come back through this next year, and then the next year, and then the next year, and you, I talked to people that, well, I did the Course in Miracles, and I know, but you know, like you did it, you could do the Course in Miracles once and you're done. Yeah, good luck with that. And they've moved on to something else. That's the ego taking control of your spiritual journey. In fact, most of the resistance that I experience today with people that I would like to say are peers in spiritual, in the spiritual community, these spiritual communities that are defined out here in the third dimensional world, and they have their institutions, and they have their buildings, and they have their communities, and that's all fine and well. But I find that while I would even say the Christian community just turns a blind eye to the teachings of the Course in Miracles by and large, and just don't pay it any attention, so they don't get all hung up on it. The communities that I would expect that to really be drawn to it and excited about it. Oh my gosh, here's Jesus channeling, right? I find them to be the most resistant and bashing of it. It's like, wow. I mean, it's hard to believe. It's hard to believe that we can get so close to our mind beginning to open up to a whole different level, taking things to the next level. And the ego will take ownership of it, become self-righteous, and turn its back on it and walk right away and go, oh, no, that's not for me. Well, here's the blasphemous moment for the day, right? If we go back to the beginning of A Course in Miracles and what the teaching is said to be for, right? He tells us that your past learning must have taught you the wrong thing simply because it has not made you happy. On this basis alone, its value should be questioned. If learning aims at change and that is always its purpose, are you satisfied with the changes your learning has brought you? Dissatisfaction with learning outcomes must be a sign of learning failure, since it means that you didn't get what you want. So the curriculum of the atonement, even that word sets up tremors, right? Confusion, which it really just means at-one-ment, and we'll be talking about it. It's the opposite of the curriculum that you've established for yourselves. So he's saying that this curriculum, the Course in Miracles, is adding to the curriculum and helping to helping us to unpack and discover and experience the curriculum of the atonement. But it's really good for us to begin to understand that it's not the atonement that it has been defined for us by our traditional religions. If the outcome of yours, right, your curriculum has made you unhappy, and if you want a different one, a change in the curriculum is obviously necessary. So we do need to be willing to allow ourselves to accept a new curriculum. So this is what it's about, right? And he also says this Course in Miracles is a required course. Only the time that you take it's voluntary. Free will does not mean that you can establish the curriculum. It means only that you may elect what you want to take at a given time. I love you, my brothers and sisters, and I will be back with you tomorrow for Lesson 10. God bless. Stay the course. Give us our illusions, Father, and help us to accept our true relationship with you, in which there are no illusions, and where none can ever enter. Our holiness is yours. What can there be in us that needs forgiveness when yours is perfect? The sleep of forgetfulness is only the unwillingness to remember your forgiveness and your love. Let us not wander to temptation, for the temptation of the Son of God is not your will. And let us receive only what you have given, and accept but this into the minds which you created and which you love. Amen.